Wait,
yeah, we did it.
How did you do that without me making you a host? How did you do that without me making you a host? I didn't.
I sent the request, and then immediately it said host allows you to.
Oh, weird. Maybe. God, what is this, 8 a.m.?
Don't feel like watching movies, so I'll watch people guess them instead. I don't know how it goes. I think it starts with your show.
Welcome to the show. Welcome. We don't have a Joe today. You know, it's really nice and celebratory. It's really nice when all of us are here. It's lovely. It's love. I mean, that's what we want, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes things happen and, you know.
No one appreciated us, you know? My reply text to Joe.
I did.
Thank you.
I did, Devin. And then I felt bad because.
The one where you said okay.
I just said K.
No, you just said K. Joe sent like a super long, nice poem about how he couldn't.
Yeah, but that's just
on
Joe.
The podcast.
Joe typed in. Joe typed in.
I bequeath you.
But like before you even say what he said, I'm telling you, he went to ChatGPT and said eloquently type out me saying I can't do the podcast this week.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's what we got. We got this fucking Shakespearean
bullshit.
My friends, I bequeath to you this day a proclamation. I will not be able to attend.
Let me do ChatGPT justice because this is pretty. Definitely, you're right. Joe did not come up with this. It says, out of nowhere at 11:30 on a Saturday morning, my friends, I shall not be able to attend thee on the recording of jovial voices and merriment. My heart sinks verily, but mightily she rises from the depths of despair on airs of confidence bequeathed by the knowledge of ye three venturing into conversational battle in my stead, complete with a Conan O'Brien, you know, fancy bow. And
like
then
a,
I
a
said
curtsy, yeah.
I said the single letter K.
And then no one
and then
else
no
said
one
anything.
Said anything.
No one said anything until 6 p.m.
when I said
that text came in at 11:30 a.m. yesterday. That was
no
Saturday.
One acknowledged.
Well,
Joe's just like,
actually,
God, they're assholes.
Well,
they're just
to be that. Fair. To be fair, Kevin loved it. Kevin gave it a heart.
I give it a heart until 6 p.m.
I didn't
so
do
he
it.
He had the
I
whole day.
I completely ignored it.
Yeah.
I gave it a heart because
Steve made the right
call.
I
know Joe's tired.
Steve made we know by now that we ignore Joe whenever he does this.
But you know, it's funny because I'm looking at it and you know, Kevin's on the fence. Kevin thinks Joe wrote this from the heart.
Yeah.
You think this
I think he wrote it, yeah.
Well, here's
There's
where I'm
words
having
in there.
Here's where I'm having problems. I know. He does use the word jovial quite a lot.
Yep.
And that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that sold.
That's the one that sold me too. But
and he literally
on,
writes poems. He's a poet.
He does write poems on his Instagram. Sometimes he'll do a post and it'll be like a nice little poem. But in the post, there's a spacing error between confidence and bequeathed, as well as there being. Well, actually, there's also really bad punctuation in this.
I see what you're saying, but doesn't that lean more towards it is a human thing?
Yeah,
you wouldn't do a double space.
To me, a double space means you spaced to write something, then you forgot, then you pasted something there, and then you didn't fix the space.
That's
I think he didn't. I think he was confused on whether bequeathed had two E's or was UEA, and he went back and changed it after Googling it, and he didn't realize he copy and pasted the space.
And he didn't fix the space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punctuation's real bad, so maybe that's where the ChatGPT comes.
Because we know he can't spell.
My friends, and then there's a dash,
and not
I
the hard.
Not be able to attend thee on the recording of jovial voices and merriment. Okay, that's fine. My heart
Should
sinks verily, comma, but mightily she rises from the depths of despair. On airs of confidence. Period.
Did you add a comma?
No, I'm adding. I'm fixing this. I'm fixing the punctuation here. I'm telling you where there should be punctuation in
there. There should be a comma there.
My heart sinks verily. Is verily a word? I didn't know that was a word.
Yeah, verily is like an old timey.
Okay.
Here, let me look it up. Verily.
It makes sense. It just I've never heard it.
Yeah, verily is like a old timey, not used word anymore.
I'm verily.
There's also a company called Verily.
Yeah, it is like ancestry.
The DNA meaning stuff. Of verily is in truth, certainty. So being certain. In truth.
So he's certain that he's.
My heart sinks.
Sinking.
Truthfully.
Okay.
Verily, this comma.
Scholars will be poring over this for.
Yeah, see, and then there's like, it's the biggest run-on sentence I've ever read in my life.
Yeah.
My heart sinks verily, but mightily she rises from the depths of despair on airs of confidence bequeathed by knowledge of thee, ye venturing into conversational battle in my stead. And then there's a period as if to mock us at the end.
Yeah, there's not a, there's only one.
This is going to take the whole podcast to dissect this.
Dude, it is.
Ending a sentence bitterly and to mock someone with a period is so funny.
Dude, and why bother with the formality of a period at the end when you're not going to bother with all the punctuation in between?
It's to mock us.
It's mocking us.
I'm glad he's not here.
And dude, seeing how we literally said nothing but 1K is so crazy when you look back at it.
I will say this though. I think it's fun. It's fun because Joe is fun. Joe has fun. There's fun in Joe. And I think we, you know, when he could have just said like, "Hey guys, can't do the pod." And it's fine, you know, but it's fun that he did like a big long thing. And, you know, I don't know how much thought he put into it, truly, but the more thought he put into it, the funnier it is that there was no response.
Well, see, I'm wondering if this is like a Gish Gal thing or like a like he's laying it on so thick, because you'll notice he did not give a reason.
He didn't say.
So it's like
he did it.
He's kind of doing this like shiny text that's like really clever and well written, but it's like to distract us from the reality that he's probably just didn't want to do the podcast.
He just didn't want to do it.
And also the Conan thing is another element to this that we're not addressing.
Because he wants you to read it like
bold
that.
Move.
He wants you to read it like
Like Conan,
like he pulled out a scroll and he's reading it off of a scroll.
And that's his little bow to us.
That's his, verily I say.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I did something that you guys might find interesting. Welcome to the show, folks.
Hey guys. Hey everybody. What'd you do, Elliot?
I told you guys recently, I don't know if I told you this, Steve, I don't know if we were there on the episode, but I did in fact go to Las Vegas for a couple
days. Hell yeah, brother.
Now I gotta tell you guys, I don't know if you know this about me, I like Las Vegas. And one show that has been there for quite a long time that I've never seen, I saw for the first time.
Oh shit, what'd you see?
Wait.
I saw a
is
show.
It Love?
What is that?
Oh, you didn't see Love.
The Beagles?
No. The Beatles?
No, absolutely not. I saw David Copperfield.
Whoa.
Let me tell you something. This is the bit I've been trying to figure out the way to present the information about the show in a succinct way, and I don't know that I can. I might need to bring Joe in for it to write something.
Wow. Yeah, he might need to write out something.
So to begin, I don't know if you guys are familiar with David Copperfield, but he performs coincidentally in the David Copperfield Theater, which is pretty incredible.
That's right.
Now, we made our way there and we started watching the show. Are you guys familiar? If you guys don't know who David Copperfield is, he's a magician. He's also the world's most successful magician to ever live.
I didn't know that.
And he is worth about $1 billion.
I didn't know that either.
He's a billionaire. He's 67 years old.
Yeah, he's been doing it since like the 80s or something. Yeah, maybe earlier.
He opens. First of all, there's it's a pretty crowded theater, and I can't emphasize this enough. No one in the crowd seemed to be enjoying the show, except for me and my wife.
Were you guys of the sober variety?
Ooh, well, I found these little tablet weed things that I really like. And I said, I'll take one of these things. We were on cloud nine. Everyone was dead silent, like they'd never seen a show in their life before. He does 15 shows a week, 3 on Saturdays alone. We saw the early one on Friday.
Dude, imagine doing 3 shows. Yeah. Imagine being as rich as he is, and he's still like,
doing that.
I'm gonna do these same fucking tricks every fucking day.
So I'm gonna try to explain some of the show here, because I think, first of all, you guys would have really gotten a kick out of it. One, because he's done this show so many times, he mumbled like an unbelievable amount that we couldn't understand whole sentences, of sentences.
Like in his 60s too?
He's 67. I thought maybe it was like a health thing or like maybe something, but he literally seemed to be so abundantly checked out of the entire performance, but doing the most incredible shows or tricks that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And on top, like, he'd be like, so I was, and my dad, I never got to say that I love my dad.
No way. No way. Yeah.
And
what was it, the audio? Well, could it be the sound system?
No, because some of it would come right back in. And maybe it was where we were sitting. We did consider, but it would be like the theme of the show is that his dad died and he never got to say that he loved his dad. But the information
that
came
out.
That's
the show?
It gets crazier, dude.
Oh, man. Wait, hold on. Can I guess really quickly? Just a super fast guess.
Please.
He gets like an I love you note from his dad. That's like magic. And it's like the big showstopper.
That's correct.
All right. How do we get there, though? Tell us all.
Not quite. It's a note, and it does end up saying something like "I love you" or whatever. But then he's like, "Well, first of all, the show opens with an empty box, and then curtains go down on the box. It comes up, and he's on a motorcycle, and he drives off the stage in a motorcycle, okay?
Which is pretty great."
I was like, "That's fine." This guy pops up. He's like, "It's my wife's dream for me to assist you in a trick." So he's like, "Oh, come over. Let me help you assist me in a trick or whatever." That trick sucks. I see how it works immediately. I'm like, "This is gonna be a bad show." And then he gets all these people to come up on stage, and he's like, "This is the classic car my dad used to drive around in. He loved this car. It was a 1962 something Studebaker, beautiful car." He gets these guys to come on stage. They hug these columns, and we're like, "What is going on?" And he puts these covers on, and he takes them off, and there's a full car on the stage. I about fell out of my chair. I was like, "That is the most, I've never seen anything like that." And then he gets in the car. Guess what? Turns it on.
It's a real car.
It's a real car.
It's not like a toy they brought on stage or a prop or something. It's a real car.
And so the men are all holding the car up on columns.
With really?
Big silver columns. He has pulled.
These are part of his show. He didn't pull them from the audience.
Doesn't really make sense why they have to hold them there. But anyway, so there's all these like plans and stuff we figure out later. But then he goes, "My dad also worked for Roswell."
Okay, so we get some alien stuff.
Steve, he apparently saw the first episode of Mandalorian and was like, "I want that Baby Yoda thing."
No way. Is there a puppet?
Dude, Roswell. His dad worked at Roswell.
No.
And then there's all these sepia photos of his dad holding this Baby Yoda looking.
No way.
Alien.
Like, and it's Photoshop, real bad Photoshop.
Yeah, real bad. And guess who shows up? The alien.
No fucking way, dude.
In what way
is this show? What is this fucking show?
Bear in mind, dead silence from every audience member except for me and Grace.
Were they clapping, though, when tricks would.
Like, the weakest.
Pop off?
Like,
really?
And every other line is like songs in them, but another.
Oh, man.
And
But 67, 60, you say 67?
That's not old enough.
And I was going to say, because, like, is that really old? Is that that old? Is no, that
not
that,
to be, like,
he was so checked out.
Yeah.
Like, it was, but talking about the deepest, most emotionally driven stuff in the world to two people who were high and a bunch of other people who had no interest. It's so like they never seen engaged.
You guys were the only people engaged in the
we
show.
We were, like, looking around, like, ah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys see that? That was a car.
A whole car is in here now. Did you see how fast they shot that car from under the stage to where it is now? You guys didn't see that?
And so then the alien shows up. The alien talks with an adult Boston accent.
No.
Dude.
No way. Is there footage of this or pictures?
No,
or...
because at the beginning, he has a brilliant way where he does a magic trick with your email, and then he has you put your phone in the box, in a box in front of you. So I was like, good, because I would have been filming. And they have a laser guy in the back who laser points anybody who grabs their cell phones. So yeah, I highly recommend you go see it. But, dude, it gets crazier. Then his dad's like, man, well, you know, or he's like, I didn't get to say goodbye to my dad, but maybe I can get you back home to your family. And I was like,
it's an alien story.
I turned
now.
To Grace and I was like, we're going to see it. We're going to see a UFO.
I think I see a picture of this alien.
Yeah.
I cannot believe what I'm looking at.
Wait, so how did he bring the alien out onto, like, was there an introduction that was cool or how did he come out?
Yeah, he had like a whole lab. He had like a thing. Wait, it became... it like floated down or something from the ceiling.
And how
ceiling.
Big is this alien? Like, is it Yoda
exactly
size?
Baby Yoda size. Exactly. Like,
okay.
He swaddled it at one point and held it under and talked about death.
Okay.
It was crazy.
Is that the guy?
That's the
no
one.
No way.
Is that
and
the
it
man?
Fully walks,
it looks
it
like
walks.
A Pixar version of
Officer?
Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one, Officer.
And he talks like, hey.
Look at this.
You know who I just from looking at, and by the way, I love the merchandise tie-ins. Did he have a gift shop where you could buy this?
Wow, look at that. A little statue of the alien there, too. That's cute. Yeah.
So Rob Paulson is the voice of that guy. Do you know who
I was
that is?
It sounded like Bill Burr.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this guy sounds familiar.
Well, Rob Paulson, I'm pretty sure, is one of the Animaniacs, right?
Yeah.
Is that the
puppy?
Yeah, he is. He's this guy.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. He's the guy that does Yakko.
I was
going to
say,
Yakko.
Is he the main guy?
He's Yakko. Is that the actual
look at that
puppet?
Alien.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the actual puppet? It's pretty Baby Yoda sized.
Yeah, it is. And it's blue.
Well,
blue with big ears and big ass antenna.
At the beginning, too. So then he's like, all right, well, we need Christ. To. My dad and I used to give each other this symbol that meant love. This is our secret symbol. And if
no
we
way.
All,
this
if we
is
all,
not.
If we all sorry. Point love, and by the way, I could not figure out how to do this. If that gives you any indie click, I was like looking at everyone trying to figure out. But I was like, I think I got. It. And then it doesn't work at first because people are like, they don't believe. He's like, they don't believe it. They don't believe. And so eventually, we put it down by our hearts, and the lights go down. I swear to God, the lights come up, and a flying UFO appears. It takes up the entire above the audience. It floats over everyone. There's no strings.
It's above the audience.
Yeah, it floats like, and it's giant. And it I mean, I don't have to tell you. If you freak me out, you know, it was like,
because you're like,
it was so cool.
And you're probably thinking, if the show is this cheesy, this thing could fall on me and kill me and my wife here in Las Vegas.
That's true.
Did you ever think you were in trouble at any point?
I should have thought that.
You were too mystified. No, that means the show did a good job for being like being mystified. And that thing, you couldn't see it when you came in, like it wasn't on the ceiling, like not.
No, I looked
up.
Everywhere. I have
wow,
no idea.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
I think it was a drone, but like they made it look so good and so silent. But
that's
cool. At the beginning, he was like, he was also, because if that wasn't enough, he was like, also, when I was a boy with my dad, I had this toy dinosaur. He had a gold tooth on it. And I always missed that dinosaur. Maybe one day I'll see it. And I was like, we're going to see a dinosaur. And so then at the end of the show, the UFO goes backstage, keeps hovering. The curtains come. It cuts to a video of the UFO flying over the Las Vegas Strip.
Whoa, like it's leaving Las Vegas. Yeah.
And then he like take the alien floats up or whatever. And then at the end, at the very end, he's like, here's the box again. And I was like, this is going to be crazy. He shows or all around it, goes under it, you know, classic magic thing.
No strings.
Brings it back up. Full dinosaur in the thing, screaming at everyone with giant skeletal teeth with a gold tooth sticking out. Whoa. How'd he do it? I don't know. Magic. Dead silence from the crowd.
And does he stand there for the applause?
Dude, he goes like this, like standing ovation.
Cause like,
and so everyone's like, okay, nice to stand.
Cause like, I grew up with David Copperfield being like awesome. Like, I think some of the youth of today remember like Chris Angel as being like the, like, that was their magician.
David Blaine.
Oh man, David Blaine was great because he was like the Jackass of magicians, because he would do gross shit like, let me swallow your shoelace and pull it out of my belly button. Or remember that thing where he would like pull a mole, he would like
out of his skin,
eat a piece of string, and then he'd like rip off a mole and then it would be like the string.
Nice.
Like, what the fuck are you doing, you gross bastard? No one's this gross shit. But I watched David Copperfield a lot. And Elliot, you and I, we have something in common here, friend.
Have you seen him?
I saw David Copperfield when I was a young man.
Whoa. Dude, that's why we went, because Grace saw him when she was a kid and she was like, had a massive crush on him.
Yeah. Well, because he's got charisma. He's handsome.
Billionaire.
He's good with his hands. He's got a lot of money.
Do you remember the show at all, Steve?
I remember it being incredible. I remember the audience really liking it. This was like late 90s, mid to late 90s. Okay. And people were fucking loving it. People loved it. But I remember after every time he would do a trick, he would do like a thing for the audience to be like, now give me
lift
a pause,
his hands up.
You. And then wait there until everyone was done. Like, after every trick.
Yeah.
He didn't do that this time, or he did?
He did a little bit of that. I mean, the waving to do the standing ovation was pretty incredible.
Yeah, but I'd never cheer.
They didn't cheer. And he moved past, I think, what Grace came to the conclusion of, her theory was that he realized so quickly that it was a horrible audience that he just blew through it and was
he's
the laughs. He's total pro, and the laughs, when they didn't land, he just barreled through and kept going. He also, I don't know if he was doing this when when you were a kid, Steve, but he seems to have a germaphobe.
Interesting. Oh, he doesn't want to touch people.
Yeah, he would sanitize everyone. And we were like, maybe it's a germaphobe. Maybe it's just really smart being a performer in Vegas doing 15 shows a week. Like, you don't want to get sick. So,
yeah.
But he sprayed everything. Like, he would spray everyone's hands. And I thought it was going to be like a magic trick. And I was like, oh, no, he's apparently just like cleaning everybody's
hands. No way.
The layers are so, every part of it was odd, but it was incredible.
Usually, if you're that like worried, you just cut out the element where maybe people touch you.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah.
But he wants that part in there. So something's bizarre. Something's weird about that in my head a little bit.
It's a whole, why, if you have that much money, I mean, you must just love performing. I guess I get it.
That's what I mean.
But
like, three shows
in one day, 15 shows, like every day.
He's probably like, if I do this for another 5 years, I'll be the longest running magician in Vegas.
Yeah.
And then that'll be like my whole legacy, is that I was the highest paid magician and the longest residency in Vegas.
Yeah. He wants to go down in like the history books. After, at the beginning, he was like, this year, keep an eye out. I want you to look up at the sky. And if you see anything, tweet at me. My handle is @Copperfield on Twitter, now X. And you might find that later this year I make the moon disappear. And the reason I'm making the moon disappear is because I want to show people that anything is possible if you dream big enough. And I was like, yeah, but you're not going to make the moon disappear.
No, you're not, sir. You're not going to make the moon disappear.
That was when I was my skeptical young self. At the end of the show, I was like, this dude's going to make the moon disappear.
Well, do you remember when we were like, you know, there was a time when magic like got kind of popular again and we were seeing like events. There would be like events like David Blaine would be like, I'm going to sleep in a coffin for 3 years and no one's there. I'm going to have no food in there.
It's we like, made like, didn't Copperfield make the Statue of Liberty disappear?
Yeah. And there were all these gimmicks. Like, I'm going to make a boat disappear.
As a kid, I was like, I don't like this big stuff.
That's the thing. Exactly. It's like, but they all felt like they needed to prove themselves by going bigger and more grand. But like, David Blaine would do shit like, I'm going to be frozen in ice for a week or something. Yeah. And then they'll thaw me back and I could die. And it's
what
like.
What did he do recently with the balloons? Wasn't there something he did crazy with balloons?
Oh, yeah. There was a thing with balloons.
Let me look.
Let's find out. Yeah, you look. You look.
He at one point was like, so we're going back to the moon? We're about the first time by moon 50 years. And at that point, I was dying laughing because I was like, what is he talking about? Because he was like, on this moon mission, nickel disc is impenetrable. You can't get rid of all the secrets of my magic going will be on the moon. And
and I was like,
what?
He's broken.
It's like something about his tricks, his secrets are going to be on the moon. So I guess he's putting all of his secrets on a little disc, and they're going to take that to the moon so that if after he dies, if you
want
to know the secrets to his tricks,
you have to go to the moon and
get
it.
You have to go get it from the moon.
Wow.
That's just billionaire.
I know. It's like once you have billions of dollars, like you can do shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my hard drive on the moon. If you ever want to see what's on there,
thumb drive.
We went out to we stepped in a restaurant afterward because we were like, we gotta just like decompress after what we just saw. And and we just both start like the waiter's coming up and we're both just talking about David Copperfield over and over again. And Grace was like, I'm gonna Google what his dad did. His dad worked at Roswell. And I was like, baby, I don't think the
there's no way his dad worked at Roswell.
True. I was like, baby, you don't need to Google that. I was like, I don't think and she's like, well, he said. I was like, I don't think the billionaire magician's dad really worked at Roswell. I was like, and she was like, well, now I don't trust him. He's a liar.
Yeah, that's what magic is. Magic is lies.
It's all lies. Yeah.
Magic is lying and in front of your face.
To think that like the whole conceit is his not being able to tell his dad that he loves him.
Yeah.
And so then it's like his dad is passed away, but he then has a fake video that he makes with the actor he casts as his dad where he time travels back in time and then the video cuts to him as a younger version of himself because the video's so old at this point.
Yeah.
So like he travels back
in
time.
It's like when the show started, they shot this for the show 10 years ago.
Yeah. And you're like, oh.
And it's supposed
and
to be
then
him
it stops
now.
And he appears at the back of the
dude.
Wait, did he do that thing where he like he's on stage and then like in a blink he's like over there, he's like in the audience?
Yeah, it wasn't quite a blink, but it was pretty fast.
Okay, so my brother and I this memory is distorted now because I feel like I've told this on like Table Talk 100 times probably or some other show, and it's now the funnier version of it rather than what actually happened.
That's okay.
But in my memory, my brother and I were close enough to the stage when we saw David Copperfield that when that trick, when he did that trick where he's like on stage and then the stage goes black and then the spotlight shows over there and then there he is like way in the back of the audience and you're like, whoa, we were like freaking out. We loved it. But then all of a sudden we could hear running on the stage and we look and whoever.
Dude, hearing the footsteps.
Hearing
so
him running. But it was like after he. So I was scurrying. Like, wait. I was like, wait a minute. Is that not that him? Not him.
Yeah.
Or is it someone that looks like him? Or is it. Or is that not, or that is this not one him. Not him? And I'm thinking, because I know magicians use doubles.
Right.
You know, they use doubles a lot. And a lot of magicians have twins and get into magic because they have a twin.
Yeah.
So that they can use the twin in the show to, like, you know, stupefy. Oh.
But great use of stupefy.
Thank you. But I'll tell you that this made me believe.
Yeah.
That maybe we had either David Copperfield has a twin, and it's like the best kept secret, and that's how he does all of his shit, or he had a double over there, and he's so far away from you, that you can't, and it's like his voice still coming over the intercom.
Yeah.
But someone was running from the stage, and seconds ago it was David Copperfield.
The first, we were pretty far back. We got tickets late, so we were close to him when he reappeared. It looked like him, but there at the beginning when there was the dude who was like, "Please let it's my dream to assist you in a trick."
Oh yeah.
He got this guy to come over and, like, he stands on a platform. It's in the middle of the crowd, and he, like, has this, and he, like, covers him with a sheet. And then he, like, does this thing where it was really easy to see the guy after he was covered with the sheet duck out and run to the stage. I was like, there he goes.
So he was planted.
And then he appears, the assistant appears on stage. Yeah, there were a few plants. And I was like, okay, that kind of sucked, like, because you could see him running. I was like, there's no way this is going to be a good show. And then the car appeared, and I was done for.
Because, I mean, like, the thing with magic is like, you know, when we would watch it on TV, we were seeing, like, purposeful angles. They were showing us exactly what they wanted us to see. But when you see magic in person, you can see it from every angle you want to. And that's when it's like, okay, well, obviously this, like, come on, let's grow up, boys. Magic ain't real. It's lies. It's sleight of hand. It's,
I don't know.
It's whatever. Dexterity. Stamina. You weren't there. It's all these things.
I saw a UFO.
And so you're like, I saw an alien. I was in the presence of an alien. And that's life. My life is different. They want you to believe everything that happened in there is real. And it's like, all right. But the truth is that it isn't. And then it becomes like, well, then how did they do it? The fact that you can't figure it out is the real magic, right? Like, the real magic is that someone pulled that off and fooled you to the point where you can't even conceive of how they did it. Right. But when you see how they do it, once, because you've been in the Magic Castle, right? You guys ever been in the Magic Castle?
I've never been. I need to go. It's like,
man,
it's my last LA thing that I've never done.
Dude, I mean, it's been a really long time for me, and I've only ever been the one time. But you can see they do close-up magic. They do the stuff that David Copperfield does, the illusions and things like that. But the close-up magic is the stuff where it's like, okay, well, if I could look at this from every angle, maybe I could figure it out. But because we are in this seating area and the magician is showing you what he wants you to see, that's how you're, like, stupefied by it. There's that word again.
Yeah. Like, the ones that don't impress me are the number tricks. Like, when they're
like I'm thinking of a number. Crap. I know, I hate it.
Or, like, write down. Yeah, I'm gonna write down a look at boundless cards, all the numbers on it. I'm like, I've never. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah. The big things appearing and disappearing, or like things happening super fast.
Yeah,
are the best ones.
Yeah.
Same with like quick change artists. I still love watching that shit when they're really good.
How does that work? How do they do that? Layers?
It's all, I guess.
I mean, these
it's
things are constructed. Crazy, these are constructed. These are like, it's like practical, constructed, like movie magic almost. Like, you know how they make things happen in movies? Like, the helmet goes over Tony Stark's face. It's all CGI. But they have a thing now where you could, like, put it on and it looks like it, like, actually does all the things that Tony Stark's helmet does.
I didn't know that.
And but on the set they had like a practical one with all these people doing like wires and shit to make it like kind of look like it's actually happening practically. And so these magicians have teams that build them like movie quality props that you know, and including the costumes and stuff. So what I'm assuming is that these costumes are built to collapse like very quickly or something. They're built with wires and that can be snapped and then all of a sudden it falls off or
but something. This is
but it's very similar to a Pete Holmes bit where he talks about a guy trying to figure out magic in a magic show, so he just says magnets. Magnets.
Oh, it's all magnets.
It's like Pete Holmes is like, you're just saying two things you don't understand.
It's magnets.
Well, it's got wires. It collapse.
But you know, there has to be a practical reason. There has to be.
Right. Yeah.
There is a practical reason. There's a practical answer.
And it will disappoint you.
Yeah, but but sometimes it's cool. And you're like, whoa, that's how they did it? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's 8 a.m.
We're talking about David Copperfield. I have some questions about David Copperfield. Because the thing is like, if you're 67 years old and you're doing your show, you're doing the second show of three on your weekend day. You did your first one. You're doing your second one. You got one more to go. And you're doing your second show, and the audience is like, the audience sucks. You're just like, fuck, no one's laughing, no one's clapping. Do you just like, if you're 67 and you've been doing this show for 15 years, same fucking show, does it just like not even compute in his brain that it's sucking? Because he's like, I already got your money, I've already got your attention.
It's just routine.
Greg said the real trick was that David Copperfield wasn't there the whole time. Like, he is so vacant.
He actually wasn't.
Like, he's like, yeah. The real trick was he made himself disappear.
At the end of the movie.
He's just chilling at home.
He's gone. Now you see me. Now you don't.
She was like, when I was a kid, I had such a crush on him. But when he came out, I was like, oh, he doesn't care about me or this show or anyone in here right now.
He doesn't care that you had a crush on him.
No.
Yeah. What is that? I wonder what that's like. Because I think about like, man, I'd love to do a musical or something. And, you know, they do like sometimes two or three shows a night, like 3-4 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever. And it's like, man, I mean, I just don't know if I could do the exact same show for 10 years.
Well, I was telling some folks about this recently that I got real into Carrot Top on Instagram for some reason.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I mentioned, but like I've started following him and I'm fascinated by him and his life because it's similar to David Copperfield. He does the same show every night, but he's been doing it for like going on 20 years just at the same venue, I think longer in terms of residencies, and you get paid like $8 million a year or something.
Damn. So they just throw money at you if you have a residency there.
Yeah, and he goes, he performs, and then he's home 3 hours later.
Yeah.
I'm like, that seems wonderful.
So it's like clocking in at the office, doing your job, and then going home.
2 hours, and then you're done.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they gotta, like, David Copperfield probably has updated, obviously, his act. He probably updates it, like, a year and a half, 2 years or something.
Maybe every couple of years.
That would help with the boredom of it.
And it's really one of those things where it's like, you really have to just tell yourself, like, there's people who you know, came to this show to see it. They never seen it. They don't even know what I'm about.
Yeah.
Give them a good show, you know?
I think too, you forget like in Vegas that not everyone is, most people are not flying in from LA,
right,
where entertainment is like appreciated and embraced and supported. And they're flying in from all over the country and they've probably never seen oftentimes a live show in their entire life. And they're just like,
they've never seen a real alien.
I've never seen a real alien or a real UFO. The car was real, but man, the lack of fun was crazy.
It's just so silent. Doesn't it kind of make sense now when you think about those like old performers that kind of lose it on someone in the audience? Yeah. Because you're like, motherfucker, I've done this show for 25 years. You're going to come in here and get all rowdy and shit. Like, I can't wait till David Copperfield loses his shit at someone.
At one point they have like the cameras that follow everyone around, and then it shows like it's the TV special, you know, yeah, the screen yeah. behind him and whatever. Yeah. So the camera is on this woman and he's doing like an interview thing. And then this guy comes behind her and he's got like a yard drink and you know those like real tall things yeah, and yeah. he's like he starts like getting in front of the camera and he's like, oh, you got an asshole behind you, hang on. And then he like leaves or whatever and he walks past me and I'm like, that guy just stormed out, it's weird. And whoa. And then later David Copperfield is like, and now unroll that poster. And it's a poster of Elvis Presley, but Elvis Presley is made up of words that describe exactly what just happened and how there was an asshole behind her and how she brought up this and her. Da, da, da. And I was like, okay. And I was like, he did it again. He did magic again.
Was it so the most impressive? So to say one really nice thing about the show.
It's incredible. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had. If you want a weird time, every moment was entertaining.
Yeah, but that's you. Like, you mm-hmm. were entertained because of reasons that were not meant to be the reason why it was.
The dead dad thing was a curveball.
Yeah. Well, the dead dad thing is crazy. Like, that's what the show's about.
Yeah, that's the whole conceit. Yeah. That's the theme behind the show. And then he elegantly works in UFOs, like a secret laboratory, his dad working at Roswell, the dinosaur at the very end, motorcycle at the beginning, car at the beginning. I was like, dang, that's like almost every vehicle. Like, he's gotten pretty much UFOs, need a plane maybe. But I loved it.
I guess I can't really fathom there's got to be a number, right, where he's like, okay, I'm done. Like, whether it's an age or it's an amount of money in his bank account or whatever. Like, what are you doing when you're like 67 and you're like, I really don't need to do this?
That's got to be. That will haunt me.
Like, it haunts me.
Because I couldn't, I'm sure it's, I assume it has to be a deep love of performing that is actually as simple as it seems, because every other possibility just doesn't make any sense to me.
It's too bonkers. Yeah.
Because he's like, also assuming that the germaphobe thing is real, it's like, you don't have to do this.
Yeah. 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 Like, go be comfortable in your own, whatever makes you happy. But maybe that's what makes him happy.
That's what makes
him happy.
Spraying
people with his disinfectant and listening to like anemic clapping from the audience while he's like giving it his all of the. I mean, whatever, man. I honestly there's some like maybe it's echoes of a different timeline that sometimes enter my. Subconscious, my consciousness, from my subconscious into my consciousness. But like, I think about how fun it would be to have like a Vegas residency show where it's not just you, because you're like, you know, if it's just you, then you're like, get ready to like lose your life to this, get ready to make this your life. But if it was like a team of people and it was like a fun thing and everyone had something fun to do and it, you know, there was room for improv and you didn't have to like stick to like a script every single night. Like, that's kind of like a low key dream.
It's the dream,
right?
Because it's Vegas, it's gross, it's fun, it's wonderful. And then they obviously have so much money to give to these people to do residencies. So you're like, dude, you could just make some fucking great money, probably take care of your family, take care of yourself and your family. Maybe another generation or two doing a show like that.
Yeah, that's what my favorite comedian Carrot Top talks about. He says He's like, people call it selling out. He's like, when you get into entertainment, he's like, that's the goal. The goal is to sell out. The goal is to make it so you can perform and make money. And I was like, oh, this is kind of like how late night hosts, like they go in every day. They do the same shtick every day and they get paid buku's amount of money. And then eventually they lose their mind in some way.
But it also has to be like a good enough show that like at least the word of mouth gets people to like want to see it, you know, because like if you're doing like low effort, low if you're not doing big stuff that makes you think about it like days later, then you're just like kind of like any old person with a show in Vegas.
Yep.
Wow. You seen that video, Carrot Top with his dick coming out of his pants?
Mm-mm,
he's like in a kayak and he's like filming a video and his penis is like hanging out of his shorts. I don't think he realizes it.
He like posted. Is this a recent video?
Hey, let me see.
He didn't realize it.
Here we go. This is on Reddit. Carrot Top posted. Hang on.
I love him, dude. I am.
Let's share this with the friends here. Carrot Top posted this video to his Instagram with his whole ass dick hanging out.
Wait. Yeah.
Yes, I am over 18. Wait, is this the one? That's not the one.
No, it looks fine.
There's one where it's like his full ass dick hanging out. Is that it?
You sure it doesn't come up later? It's 30 seconds long.
Oh, it stopped. It just stopped.
Yeah, I think it stopped.
Oh, yeah, here it goes, Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. It's working its way out.
Not bad for an old... There it is, one!
Oh, my God. He's eating a flower.
Oh, my God.
He'll go home after a show and he'll drink wine out of like a small glass that's not a wine glass and sing Alan Jackson just by himself to his camera. Again, highly recommended.
Do you think he's happy? Guys, thanks for listening to this show. anything else we want to say? I mean, we're getting close to the hour.
We got it, dude.
We're fine. Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to? I saw Dune 2.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so y'all can't talk about it.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. What I said in the chat, okay, though? Basically, all I said was that it was too long. It's long. Yeah.
I didn't think it was that long.
You didn't think it was bad. You just...
I thought it was better than the first. Yeah.
So much better than the first.
In fact, I've been hearing... And Joe said it, too. And Joe wasn't the first one to say that. Or maybe I said it. Maybe Joe said it.
That you don't need to watch the first?
Yeah. And I was talking to you. My girlfriend loves it. Loves the first one. Loved the second one. She's like...
I loved the first one.
Big Dune fan. And I was like, do you think people even need to see the first one? And she thought for a second. She's like, fuck, no, I guess not. You could just literally see the second one.
Yeah.
Completely skip the first one.
Damn.
And I was thinking, that's so interesting because I think, is there any other movie that does that where the sequel is like,
you really don't need to see anything?
No need to see the first one at all. Like, I couldn't think of another one. Like, you know, Back to the Future 2 kind of gives you a little bit of a run through.
That's one of the most, because they go back to the first movie.
I was thinking, like, Toy Story 2, could that work?
Maybe. I was thinking, Toy Story 2.
Okay, yeah.
Also, speaking of sequels, I watched Aliens for the first time.
What?
Oh, I have never seen Aliens. Only seen Alien, and I heard Aliens is so much better.
So much better, and I was so excited. I did not like Aliens at all.
You mean Aliens?
Did you watch the theatrical or the director's cut?
The theatrical, I'm sure.
Okay, you didn't like it at all?
You didn't like Aliens?
Not really. I like Sigourney Weaver.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
When was the last time you watched it?
In fact, my girlfriend had never seen it, and we watched all of the Alien movies like last month.
Dude, I was just bored.
Bored?
The only
Are you sure
cool
not talking
part...
about Alien?
Yes, James Cameron.
That's crazy.
I know. I was surprised too.
I've never heard anyone say they were bored.
Are you saturated with Alien as a result of being so in the cultural imagination that it's no longer as enticing? Have you been?
I really didn't like the aliens. I didn't like the look of them. They looked really like a puppet to me.
Okay.
They're acting, the lines.
So you don't like
pretty
Geiger,
shitty to me.
Geiger, you don't like.
You don't like Giger's alien designs. Remember when Elliot said
I
we
like
should
the
throw
design.
Out some hot takes on this show?
Yeah.
I like the design of the aliens. I didn't like the way they just looked fake, dude. And like they never showed it moving in a realistic way to me. I don't know, man. I did not like it. The only cool part to me was when the giant one shows up.
Queen,
when she's like trying to save the kid. Yeah, the queen. That part was cool. But that was the only part that I was like, that was cool.
I mean, you couldn't like put on your like, this came out in 1987
I did.
Or whatever year
it I
came
did.
Out.
So that's why I kind of wanted to bring it up and be like, have you watched it recently?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, look, we have endless CGI fuck your face fest movies that have come out for like a very long time since that movie came out.
Right.
And when that movie came out, it was like, oh, this is
insane.
We've never seen this. We never had like Marines fighting aliens like in a like a with a big like a visual effects filmmaker.
Yeah.
Director behind it, you know. So it was like a huge, big feat of technical, you know.
And I can picture that. But I just like
you really have
story...
to like live in that. You have to like live in when it came out and what people were watching
but, like,
and
what...
enjoying at the time.
I don't want to bring up spoilers because of Elliot, but like I'm still like, what even was the point of the story?
Is this the alien that you're talking about?
Like
did
I don't
you
know
see
what
the
little...
first alien.
Yeah. Like the first one, I think I liked better, dude.
Wow.
The first one is they're two different.
It's
they're
a horror movie.
They're pretty
the
different.
The first
movies.
One's a horror movie.
Yeah. They're pretty different movies. But I think, you know, I go back and forth because I think Alien is like a perfect suspenseful horror movie.
I thought Alien was excellent. I'm excited to see Aliens. But
it's
I can
different,
I,
dude.
I am curious if I'll watch it and be like, hey, this is stupid. Lame.
You know it, like everyone knows James Cameron's famous pitch for when he went in to pitch Aliens. You remember, right, Elliot?
Hey, just draw an S on it.
S, money sign.
I think about it all the time. I thought about it again when I went to see Dune because there was a trailer for Twisters.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Like,
dude.
What is this shit?
I saw that. I saw a trailer during the Super Bowl, and I Googled it because I was like, oh, is
this
like
can't be real.
I was sure it was a GoDaddy.
Oh, I gotta watch the trailer.
And then it wasn't. I was like, oh, no, that's so bad.
It's crazy. Because I think
insane.
At one point... I think there's a line in the movie where, or in the trailer where like the lead says to the female lead male says to the female lead, you guys were trying to kill, it was like, it's like you guys were trying to kill a tornado and you failed. And then he's like, you want to try again? And so I'm like,
yeah.
What? They're going to kill? They're going to kill it? Is it living?
Yeah, they're going to kill it from the inside.
They're going to kill it. Can you kill a tornado?
If you anthropomorphize it, you can kill it.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, we're going to make... Okay, here's how... Can I predict? I'm going to make a prediction.
I bet it's going to be right.
What happens in Twisters? Because apparently there's two tornadoes there's two of them that are like working together.
What could possibly happen in such a...
This could be a very complex plot. for all we know. But in my mind, what I think will happen is because there's a moment in the trailer where they have these like drone things, these like metal, like thousands of little drone things, and they're flying around, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna use the drone if they're trying to kill Twisters, which is crazy. They're gonna use the drone things to go into the Twister and then go the other way, spin real fast the other way, and that will kill the tornado. It'll like dissolve it.
I think the two of them will definitely combine at some point
and make one big super Twister.
Super Twister. Yeah.
I was thinking a third bigger appears, and then that happens, and it becomes like,
oh whoa,
How
do they kill it?
Seven.
Well, and then the two little Twisters have to fight the big one.
I was thinking that too.
And then it's
one of them teams up
versus Godzilla versus Twisters,
or the Twister teams that one of them teams up with the humans, and then
the other ones. There's like a Chris Pratt doing the like raptor thing where, well, that made me disappear. The thing where he puts his arms out with the raptors, but he's doing it with tornadoes.
Yeah,
no, come on, come this way, Clementine. And then the other one's called Bill for Bill Paxton, right?
It's the AI voice of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, Twister. No. He's like, it's the ghosts of Bill Paxton and Philip Seymour Hoffman in the two Twisters.
You can't kill him.
Anyway, Kevin, I am mystified that you think Aliens is boring.
But I was mystified by my own opinion about it because I've never heard any bad opinions about that movie.
Well, okay, I'm going to make two grand assumptions. Number one, you watched it with the wrong people.
I watched it by myself, dude.
You watched then you should have watched it with other people. And number two, you were probably not in the best mood. It probably wasn't the best vibe for you to watch.
Steve's basically saying it's your fault.
It's your fault. That's what I'm saying. It's all on you. It's on you. Yeah. What's the earliest James Cameron movie you've seen? You've seen Terminator? The original Terminator?
I said Terminator 2.
You've seen Terminator 2?
Not the first one.
Okay, so
I like Terminator 2.
That's a one where I wouldn't say need to see the first one.
Right. That's a good point, Elliot. That's a really good point. Because they do set up a lot. Yeah, they do a lot of recaps in part two.
Isn't Terminator 2 supposedly like better than the first as well?
For certain, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's not even really a hot take. But the first one is pretty good for like an independent like horror
thing. The first James Cameron I saw was Terminator 2. And then
okay, so that was the earliest one you saw.
Yeah, then either like Titanic or Avatar.
Because I don't really love True Lies. You ever seen True Lies?
I haven't seen True Lies, no.
I don't love it. A lot of people love that fucking movie, and I don't love it. Because I think James Cameron does things with his dialogue that's like kind of cheesy.
That's how this one felt.
But all of the James Cameron movies are like that. If you watch the latest Avatar movie, you're like, this dialogue is cheesy as a motherfucker.
But
he's
written
really cheesy dialogue. So you're like, okay, that's at least it's like if you're gonna see a James Cameron, you know you're gonna get like cheesy dialogue. So after that, it's like you're like, okay, so I'm gonna rely on the action and the visual effects and the story to get me through it. And for me, True Lies never delivers on the rest of it. It just has cheesy dialogue, and it never has like a cool thing like in Aliens where there's aliens and creatures and space shit and sci-fi stuff. Okay, so if Terminator 2 is the earliest Cameron you've seen, then you probably have. Then now Aliens is the earliest Cameron you've seen. And I think that if you went any earlier than that, you probably would feel the same way because Cameron was just kind of like getting started.
Yeah, watching all like the military fighting off the aliens felt so much like Avatar fighting off the Na'vi.
Yeah.
It just took me to that realm. Like I said, it just was like nothing was super cool to me. It was just like, I've kind of seen all this shit before.
Yeah, I think you're just a kid that doesn't get it.
I could be.
I'm done.
I'm sorry, man.
No, that's okay. You don't have to like Aliens, but you need to accept that it's your fault.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, man.
If folks are traveling to Vegas anytime soon,
you gotta take me.
Highly recommend. I know, man. It's time. And this might be a show that I see again, and I recommend it to everybody.
Let's all go see David Copperfield.
I was gonna say the Valley Folk goes.
Let's go. Valley Folk goes to Vegas
and sees David Copperfield.
Yeah. Great. Well, what if we did? Because I was like, at one point, I was like, if we hurry, we can make the next show. Like, just do it again. If you just went, what if we did all three shows in one day?
Dude, we could do all three shows and then compare notes on how different they all were. By the time we get to the third show, we'll be like, this was a bad idea.
I'll be blasted. All right.
Well,
all right, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Great job. Thank you, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all of you. And hope you didn't good time.
Yep. Enjoy your daylight savings shit that doesn't make any sense. Nope. And you know, we don't, you know, what do we need this daylight savings shit for?
Hey, you know that one constant throughout your life that never changes? We're gonna mess with it twice a year.
Right. Right.
The one thing that you can rely on, the one thing that is always going, always the same.
Let's confuse people.
We're gonna chop it a little bit here and there, yeah.
Because of crops?